You're like, brother, I've been married for longer than you've been alive. Well, I'm not asking you to have a marriage like mine. I'm asking you to consider what the Bible says about marriage. So whether you are married, you're not married, or I don't know if there's an in-between, but I'd like you to consider this study. If you will, I want you to go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. First John 4, verse 7 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. When we speak of love, it should be the perfect giving love that God has given to us. God does not love us like a child loves his dolls or his action figures. God does not love us the way you would love a pet. God loves you as a child, as part of himself, as an extension of who he is. Yesterday, Melody put her hands on my face and she looked at my eyes, and you could tell she was just getting real close to one of my eyes and just looking at it. She goes, Daddy, what color are your eyes? And I said, well, honey, my eyes are the same color your eyes are. They're blue. Oh, Gideon? I go, blue. Xander? Blue. Blue. Mommy? No, not mommy. She was mommy, brown eyes. Yeah. And thankfully, that's about the only thing they got from me. Hopefully they come out beautiful like their mom and not so much like me. But that girl is a part of me. Those boys are a part of me. And I cannot help but see it in the way that they laugh, in the way that they do things. I look at them and I see an extension of me. And it's beautiful. But not just me, but better than me. Right? How they can see things, how they can process things. It is amazing to me just to watch them do things on their own. But how much of me is in there? There's a love there in having children that you are well aware of. That is how God loves you. Since he made man in his own image, he sees that image in us as he looks at us, as he cares for us, as he watches over us. That is the love that God has for us. Not as one would love a puppet, one would love an instrument, but as one would love a part of themselves. So when we see this, and I use the phrase, marriage has been under attack for a lot longer than the gay agenda, I want you to understand that it comes down to this. Marriage is between two people who love each other more than they love themselves. It mirrors and mimics the love that God has for us. As a matter of fact, all of our love should mimic and mirror the love that God has shown to us. Marriage is not possession. Marriage should not be a drudgery. I've said this before in my sermons. There is no, a man's home is his castle. And I don't know the rest of the phrase, but pretty much it goes his way and everybody else has to be miserable. Nor is it happy wife, happy life, meaning the wife always gets her way and everybody else is miserable. But that each seek to find a way for the other one to be happy. That each would sit there and pour into each other love, affection, validation, and care. That is the heart of what it is. When it strays from that mark, we abuse marriage. When marriage becomes about what you can get out of it or what you can get him or her to do, and you're always measuring the balance of the marriage, balance of the relationship, and what you're getting out of it, you are abusing marriage. When you become someone to be tolerated instead of somebody working to the cohesiveness of the home, we are abusing marriage. When we know that there are problems and we do nothing to solve them. I think it was Brother Dwayne and Brother Tim were giving me a hard time about that mouse I caught a few weeks ago. And the whole point of the joke was that he'll come back. He came back. He came back. So I was sitting there and caught the thing again. And I've got it in a we just finished up some lunch meat for lunch. Went into the trash, grabbed it out, caught him, closed the lid, threw it away. I'm done. Did he yell? No! So I go, well, we could kill it, but if you let it go, it's going to come back, right? What if you don't get rid of the problems, you'll have them again. If you don't get rid of the issues, they don't go anywhere. And one problem becomes two problems, a small problem becomes a big problem, and before you know it, you're sitting there stepping over stuff, just trying to live in this relationship. Love must be the heart and the foundation. Love the way God has loved us. Ephesians 5:25, if you will. What it says to us here is, husbands, love your wives. This is Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. These are the commands given to men in their approach to how to treat their wives. He says, love your wife as your own body. And we sit there, and you come to this conclusion. It goes beyond do unto others as you would have them do unto you, but it's straight do to others the way you do yourself. The way you'd want to respect your body, respect her body. The way you'd want to be spoken to, speak to her. The things you'd want to have done for you, the comfort you want to experience in the marriage, the respect you want to have, you give to her. I asked somebody one time, we were in the debate, there's this age-old thing where concerning the marital act, where if the husband says, that's what we're doing, that's what we're doing. And I said, wouldn't that be weird if that's what was done to you? We all make the prison jokes, but imagine that was you. Mr. Husband, you don't care what she's in the mood for. You just know that man's home is his castle. Would you want that done to you? Most men out there would say what? No, sir, I wouldn't. If I'm not in the mood for that, I wouldn't want that to happen to me anyway. And we'll cover a little bit of that down the road. But it comes down to a matter of respect and love. Respect and love. Well, I don't feel well. What can I do to help you? Well, I don't want to do that. Well, all right, well, let's find something else to do. When we love our wives, we must love them and treat them in the same way that Christ loved and treated the church. Christ did not treat the church as an object for pleasure. Christ did not treat the church as a servant nor a slave. Christ did not treat the church as though they were a construct there for nothing but his adulation. He loved the church and gave himself for it. That is why a man goes to work and he beats his body to death to create a home and a safe place for his family to be. Why? Because he loves her. Why is it that it's us that get up in the middle of the night to check what that sound was? Mostly because we want to test out our toys, but the other reason would be, of course, because it's our duty to take care of them and protect our families. That's what we promise to do. We will protect you. Oh, I'm a strong woman. I can do that myself. Of course you can. You know what else you can do? You can do everything by yourself. You don't need other people. You can do everything by yourself. You can, whether you're a man or a woman, you can cook, clean, do whatever it is that you need to do in life. You can do it all by yourself. The fact of the matter is, it's awful doing everything by yourself. You know what? Every now and then I like to make myself a sandwich, but I like making food for other people more. That means something to me. I like that. You know, I'll sit there and get everybody around the table and they'll eat. I like that. I like giving into the family. Not giving into the family, but giving into my family. I love that. I love serving my family. I love going out there and taking care of things and having that done and doing this. And, hey, let's get this rounded up. And that means something to me to see them sit there and go, hey, Dad, we got all our... Our biggest thing is this is pajamas at night. I don't have pajamas. Yes, you have pajamas. I don't have pajamas. Okay, where are they? They'll be downstairs in the clean clothes that haven't been quite brought up yet. So what do? We bring them up. We put them out there the next night. They come out. Dad, I found my pajamas okay. I like that. That ought to be how we're treating our... That's what we volunteer for, to take care of each other. To take care of each other. What was it, the argument that they used to have? Should wives make their husbands sandwiches? I don't know. Do you love them and you want them to have a sandwich? If you wanted a sandwich, wouldn't you want someone to say, hey, here's a sandwich? It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean slavery. It doesn't mean that you're less than anybody. Or like this idea of holding doors open for people. I'm not holding the door open for a lady because I think that her arms are too weak to do it. I just think it's something that's nice. Whenever somebody does it for me, I go, oh, what a wonderful thing. Unless, of course, I'm like halfway out in the parking lot and they're sitting there holding it open and I got to do that weird run thing. Other than that, I think that's nice. So I like to do that to people. We put too much thought into who's more or who's less. That's not what love is. We need to learn to love and be loved, provided that's really what we're doing. Some people, that's not how love works. Like, I like shaking hands. You know, get in there, get a good handshake in there. Some people don't shake hands right. You ever meet somebody, you shake hands with them, and it feels like they're just, immediately they want to have an arm wrestling match with you? There was a young man, I just becoming a teenager, I went to go shake his hands. I don't know what podcast or what YouTuber he was listening to, but he felt as though he needed to crush my hands. Now, listen, I've got a fat hand. You're not crushing this. But I figured next time I shake this kid's hand, I'm going to teach him a lesson. So he goes to shake hands. I bring it up. I put him into the arm wrestling thing. Bring him over to a table. Bring him down. And bam! Go beat you. And I just walked away. Some people, that's how it feels. Have you ever seen some people, particularly business people, they like to shake hands like this. They'll shake your hand and then they'll jerk you in real fast. Every time somebody does that to me, this is how I fix the problem. The moment they jerk my hand inward, I come in for the hug. I keep the hand, bring the arm around. It's so good to see you. And most of the time, somebody does that to me once, they don't do that anymore. Because it's a masculine battle of who's tougher, who's stronger, who's better. And when you turn it into a hug, it completely defeats the purpose of the game. Because I'll steer right into it. I've been married for 15 years. I've got 4 kids. You can question anything you want about my masculinity. I don't need to answer that question. So you pull on my arm, you're getting a hug. But no, sometimes that's what we do. We try to show love in a aggressive and overhanded way. Too strong, too forceful, just to demonstrate who we are. Look at the love that I have. Look at the people that want to have something to do with me. That's abusing it. You're not going to get it reciprocated properly. You've got to love other people the way you'd have them love you. When we see this, we see that our love must be tied into the love we have with God, which honestly means that we need to know God in our lives to really be able to love at our fullest capacity. What are you saying? The people who aren't saved don't know love? Of course they do. But they haven't unlocked the full potential, because there's always going to be an element that they've never experienced in it that once they do experience, it's going to change everything. It'll change everything. That we would love perfectly. That we would love compassionately. As a matter of fact, and we don't have much time, but we'll begin this 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You probably already know where we're going. Verse 4. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Love. Now, the word charity is used there in the translation, not because it was translated wrong, but because the English language, again, as I have said, it really isn't one language. It's like three raccoons in a trench coat pretending to be one language. And that language has since been greatly abused. But that word charity there simply means love, that perfect giving love. We've got one word where most languages have multiples. So the closest thing we have to describe that kind of love is the word charity. Charity is not that thing where I give to people so I feel good. Charity is not that thing where I give to people so I look good. Charity is a giving love. I see you, I see where you are, and I seek to benefit you. I want to be a resource for you. And that is what we'll look at next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look at the true definition of love, your definition of love, I pray that we cast aside the Hollywood version. I pray that we cast aside the old-fashioned version and dig a lot deeper. And Father, dig into what it is you've said love is, that Father, we may have better relationships, that we may treat people better, and that, Lord, we may bless our marriages. Father, we lift up Jada and Tyler as we prepare for this wedding. Lord, I just pray that you give to them everything in your book that it says about marriage. Lord, give them every resource, give them every tool. And Father, I pray that you bestow the same upon us that have been married for quite some time. Lord, help us. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.